challenged everyone, this was a challenge, you didn't have to do it, was to get quiet and just pray and say, Holy Spirit, who could I build up, encourage, comfort, or strengthen? I said, just the best thing you can give anybody is a scripture. It could be a thought. It could be a picture. Just start talking and go pray with them. And I said, if you're not ready for that, just let people come to you. And I just want to give a really simple story of what that process looks for different people. Do you hear me? Because I'm not like a feeler kind of person. I just get these fuzzy little, it feels like, anybody like the daydreamer? Like you could sit at the very front row in class and I could be a million miles away and I would smile and nod because I just get these fuzzy daydreams. Well, that was one of the ways God speaks to me. Some people are a little auditory. Some people, it's just this thought out of nowhere. So I was kind of praying and I opened up my eyes and I saw Michelle and I just went over to Michelle and I was like, can we pray? So we grabbed her hair, we prayed. And like I said, this is simple. And I don't remember exactly what I prayed, but we prayed and then I go, I got this fuzzy daydream in my heart, guys. And you're going, is that you, Lord? Or I'm just distracted. I really thought I was just a distracted person. And I saw the cartoon picture of Popeye the Sailor Man. And I'm like, don't even bother. You're going to make it weird, Sherry. And I thought, you know what? This is a safe place to practice, right? Hearing from God. Anybody remember Popeye the Sailor Man? Right? And I haven't watched that cartoon since I was a little kid. I don't even know if they're still on the TV. You know, it's streamed, right? So I said that. I said, does Popeye the Sailor Man mean anything to you?
And so my boss, we get these pictures done every year when we get new shirts and we all were posed like this. So with all the guys and stuff, I just thought, you know.
I told him, I said, we all need to get like a can of spinach by our mouth, you know, with the picture, you know, just laughing it off. But anyway, my boss, he fell and got hurt on Saturday. And when we prayed for him Sunday, didn't even know about it because until I went to work Monday. So he really needed the prayer. And I thank you as a church and everything for, you know, just for that day.
Yeah. Guys, really simple. The Lord wanted to pray for Michelle's boss. It was just a way. Come on. There are people in our lives that we don't really know need the Lord, right? Or just healing in their life. And I think you said that the coworker shared that, you know, my pastor thought we were supposed to pray for you. And your boss's reaction was?
He thanked me. He was really, humble.
It was just a sign and a wonder to him that God sees him and knows him, that he is valuable. And that, hey, you know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know, sometimes we think things happen to us because we're not perfect and da-da-da. And we just beat ourselves up. He got hurt, and he knew that it was God's will to bring healing into his life, that God sees him and knows him. Guys, it's powerful, and it's really simple. It's really simple. Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate you coming for up. Anyone else have just a little testimony of giving a word of encouragement, or how about this, receiving encouragement this week from anyone? And it could have just been a phone call, a text, anyone? If you guys have, come on up. All right. Ange, come on up. And you got one too? I would love. I thought I saw a hand. Yeah? No? Okay. Looks good. Don't worry. I don't embarrass people. I don't make people do things. It's okay.
I'm just finding that when I step out and feel like, I need to pray for this person or offer to pray for them, that every time I do it, everyone's just like so appreciative. And you may not see the result of what you prayed for, but just the fact that, like you said, you validated someone by just recognizing, like, you have a need. Mm-hmm. So I had a disc golf tournament yesterday, and the one girl, before the tournament started, was just feeling miserable. Female problems, you know, kind of snuck up on her that day. And, you know, she attempted to just cancel out of the tournament, but her friend was running it and just felt that she needed to support her. And so I was just like, well, can I pray for you? And she's like, yes. And I just prayed for her and just prayed God give her the strength to get through the day. And, you know, after I was done praying, she was just like really appreciative and just said, thank you. Yeah. And by the end of the tournament, I don't think she was feeling that much greater. You know what I mean? But it's just the fact that I recognized that she had a need and God showed he loved her in that way that I just offered to pray for her. And, you know, like I said, you may not see the result. Maybe nothing will happen at that time. But just the fact that people feel recognized, they feel seen, and that's very important to just step out in that way and just say, hey, can I pray for you? And sometimes it's just the simplest prayer, but just the fact that people feel that you see them makes all the difference in the world.
That's huge. Thank you. Yes. Anyone else? Guys, it's just encouraging. It's the simple things. Yeah, come on up, Ash. Ashley's just encouraging by nature. You get around her. She's like Jurl. Like, I'm telling you, get around her and, like, just, you ooze joy. It's your gift.
Actually, who encouraged me? Because you notice that we haven't been here because my daughter's been really sick. It seems like every time we're going to come to church, my daughter gets sick, my son gets sick. Like, it's just a never-ending battle. And every time, Sherry always messages me and she's like, can I pray for you? Can I pray for healing? And she just knows that, like, when I'm at my, like, lowest, she's like, hey, girl, I got you. Like,
I love you.
I love you too. And this church has been amazing. So I love you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You know, it's great. We don't condemn people for not being a church. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, people kind of come in like that. And I'm going, you're just supposed to be praying for them. Ask them how to encourage them. Don't be like, I haven't seen you in a long time. Where you been? Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what? Judgment, condemnation, criticism, you know, all that stuff. What you just do is just, I miss you. Or you don't even have to say that. Just, how can I pray for you? That's what I just texted. I just, how can I pray for you? Guys, I'm telling you, this is Christianity done powerfully, simply, and beautifully. Start conversations, start praying for people, and watch the Lord not only strengthen relationships in your life, but start answering prayers. It's incredible. Anyone else have anything? That's okay? All right, come on up, Diana. And we're going to dive in. You guys can open up your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2.
The day before our birthday, we went to Chili's for lunch and to celebrate our birthday. We're here. We got a nice, really nice, super nice waiter, and he gave us a birthday cake. And Dina's desire is to have a birthday cake. So we got a free birthday cake on Chili's. They came out and sang to us. And when I gave him a tip, he was so appreciative. And we were just a light in a dark place. And he was super nice. And he said, you girls were the nicest, kindest customers he had, and he was really appreciative, and he was amazed at our tip, and we gave him a super nice tip, and that's right. What sharing the love of Jesus is, share love with others, you know?
That's right, and appreciation and value. Thank you, Diana.
That ties right into Mike's message. Guys, come on. Like, you know, bless people. Give God credit, man, especially if they know you came from church. Yes, Donna, come on up. I'll meet you. It's okay. You're good. You're good. Make it easy.
Well, this wasn't this week. This was a while back. When we were in Montana, and we were in a restaurant, I was in the bathroom, and there was this young lady that came in that had all these tattoos on her, and she had this really neat tattoo, and I didn't want to say anything right away, but she said, I like what you're wearing, and that gave me the open door, and so I said, oh, what is that tattoo? Well, it's Mother Mary, mm-hmm. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting, and she said, well, I'm not religious, and then I got the opportunity to say, But talk about Jesus now, right now. It's been a while. I can't remember exactly what I said. But she agreed with me. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't time for prayer. You know, we didn't get the note feeling that I should pray for her. But she was like, yeah, Jesus. So it was kind of cool. You know, so I always look for those opportunities, you know, whenever somebody gives me an opportunity to talk to me, then I usually try to share. If the Spirit says so.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the door's open. Go for it.
Yeah, look for your window. It is beautiful. Thank you. All right, so we're going to dig in real quick here.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Here's my intro. Who here hates running besides me? Hate running. I hate it. Like, literally, it's so funny. I remember someone was doing the Girls on the Run program in the youth ministry, and they came up to me, and they're like, Pastor Sherry, would you like to go running with me? And you know what? People-pleasing is hard. I love to make people happy, and I just thought, there is no way. No, I'm going to be grumpy and miserable. And I just laughed, you know, but I think I directed him towards someone else. I can't remember, but I really I hate running. And I kind of realized that there's certain things, like, how about this, even going to the gym. I only go to the gym with a gym buddy, just real talk. And I remember there was a season, it was right before my wedding, and I was like, you know, those pictures are forever. And I muscle was not something that just kind of came to my side of the family. We don't have that on my side of the family. That's the other side of the family. They're born with it. They come out of the womb with a six pack, not mine. And I was like, you know, I would like to, like, wave my arms where they don't keep waving. So I'm looking for a gym buddy again. So anyway, it was so sweet. I had some gym buddies. And listen, it wasn't always just one person, because, you know, you have to diversify your group because things happen. They get busy. They get traveling. And I,
I just realized we're more likely to quit doing hard things if we don't have people in our life to what run the race with us or be on our team to do hard things. I know some people that have done the Tough Mudder. Anyone done the Tough Mudder in here, right? Yes, yes. And I remember hearing about this because my cousin did this. I think, would James do it with you? There are a couple other guys. You've done a couple of them, right? I mean, it's crazy. I think you like run through electrical wire and just like, I can just hear men roaring like, ah, you know. Yeah, I celebrate the testosterone. I think it's fantastic. I love when men are doing hard things. That's actually our chant at camp with the guys. When I jump in sometimes at the end to rally after devotions, I was like, what do men do? They go, hard things, right? Because then you need the grace of God. You got to do it by faith. So what am I talking about today? The message is prophesy grace for the race. And we're going to dig into this scripture and you'll know what I'm talking about. First of all, why do you think marathons are so popular? Why do you think a marathon is so popular? Because it's miserable. It's literally, like, first of all, like, people, like, message me, do you want to do the turkey trot? I was like, no. Do you want? I want to do? I want to wake up, and I don't know. We watch the dog show, look at the floats. And I eat food. I don't want to do a turkey trot, you know? But marathons are so popular because you're with a big group of people doing hard things together. You know, at the end of a marathon, sometimes people are about to collapse. And what do? They rally. They grab them. You know, sometimes it's really sweet when someone's ahead. And they go back and pick them up. We're going to finish this together. So this is the brunt of my message. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded. Everybody say surrounded. Raise your hand if you are surrounded right now. Okay. So by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified of the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. Raise your hand if someone in this room has shared their story with you. And it has encouraged you of God's faithfulness. Even if you haven't seen it yet in that situation or your lifetime, but it stirred faith going, God, it says in your word, you don't play favorites. And if you've been faithful to them, you're going to be faithful to me. And it got the switch of faith to turn on to go, God, you can do that for me too. It started stirring faith. Okay? It is important to stay surrounded. Then it said this, stripping off every unnecessary weight and sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. Let us, what? Run with endurance and active persistence, the Amplified Bible says, the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. I'm going to start something. I'm going to preach through it because normally we can get a little distracted here. This is a pile of cord that I think came from, but this might be your grandfather's, Brad. I don't know. It came with a move. It's his. It's ours. I did not ask before borrowing it. So I'd like this back the best we can to wrap it up. I want to talk about why it is so important to stay connected in godly, strong Christian fellowship, the body of Christ. Now, I have friends at all different churches. We got together on Friday, and it was a really rough week, I'm not going to lie. I shared that openly with some of my youth leaders and friends. I was like, it was a rough week. I had a bad attitude. I had to do hard things that I did not want to do. And I bombed, failed the test. But you know, it was so great on Friday. I was really like wrestling, grumping out. And Brad and I always pray. We try to go on a date a week of who we can connect with. And it was someone that they're in ministry at a different church, very different than ours, very different denomination than ours. And I just was like, hey, you want to grab dinner? Brad's craving some Indian. So we went out and just shared. And I was open. I like bombed this week. A terrible week. Bad attitude. You know, come on. Is your pastor allowed to like be honest with me? Had a bad week? Okay. Did not pass the test. I told Amber, I was like, I'm bombing today. My friends, it's good to be honest. And I have a diverse group, a network of people in my life at other churches and at this church, that I can be honest where I'm at when I'm really struggling. And then what? We build each other up and encourage one another. And it was just we left having such a wonderful night. Like, it was just great. And Brad and I just, like, drove home, and it was just smiling. It was just, like, something changes when we get connected in the body of Christ. So my challenge to us, and I'm going to hold this, but we'll start here. All right, Stacey, I'm going to give you the first string. All right, you get to toss this without hitting anyone. So listen, don't try to overachieve. If you knock someone in the head, you're going to have to pray for them, okay? So I would like you as I preach, to try not to be distracted, but you'll never forget what I preached about. You probably won't listen to half of what I'm saying, so try, but you won't forget about what I'm preaching about. All right, Stacey, I want you to hold on to the cord and then pass it, throw it, whatever you got to do. This is why it's so important to sit close to people for all you non-athletes like me, because when I do this, I knock people in the head normally. Toss it, and you have to stay what? Connected. By the way, you have to focus and fight to what? Stay connected. In fact, when we're really, 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 really busy, which is called being an American, I'm proud to be an American. We are busy people. You have to fight and work to stay connected, what, in your marriage? Go on dates. And if you don't have money for a go on date, you know it's free? Go into the park and holding hands, okay? Or I recommend Perrydale. You can pet their cows for free. You're going to have to pay for their ice cream, okay? You have to fight to stay, what, connected and work on, what, your marriage and on friendships, okay, and on church family. Because we have a really great revelation in the body of Christ of hopefully by now being sons and daughters of God, and that's all we have to be. We don't have to perform or work for it. We are absolutely unconditionally loved. How many people have gotten a revelation of how much Jesus loves you? We sing that song to my son every night before bed. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Not because I'm perfect, not because I didn't mess up. Pastor Sherry bombed this week. Total bomb. Worst self. But he loves us. He forgives us and he honors us. What? And he gives us grace by faith, not because we deserve it, because he loves us, his divine empowerment to do what we're called to do and what we need help to do. But here's another revelation we need as the body of Christ and a reminder at our church. We are also brothers and sisters. Raise your hand by faith if you're going to receive a revelation of being a brother and sister in the body of Christ. We're going to receive it. And guess what? It's going to take work and a bunch of phone calls and a bunch of texts. And you can't just only hang out with one person because that one person gets busy or an emergency hits or they got a job change or whatever. We need more people in our lives. So I'm going to be kicking people to get some more. Well, I have my one person. Well, you're going to need more because you know what happened to the disciples? They got spread. They got sent into what? I don't know. They got sent. One got sent into T-ball. One got sent into the medical field. One had to move to California because that's where they were called to be. One launched a business and their hours drastically changed. One took a night shift. What? And they got spread. One was just really persecuted and they had to move because the HOA was terrible. Relationships are not convenient. They are work. And you need more people in your life. So watch this. Okay. Now I'm going to preach. I think I started. All right, Hebrews 10, verse 25, New Living Translation. Set us, that's okay, guys. And listen, don't be offended. Listen, when they don't call you back 20 times. Because post-pandemic, that has changed our culture. We are afraid to connect. We are afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to have dinner together. We're afraid to have people over at our house. Okay? Yeah, there you go. No, everybody's got to get attached by the end of it. That's why we started early. Okay. Hebrews 10, 25. Let us not, don't worry, I got three other things. If it gets stuck, I am an overachiever, overpreparedor person, overcommunicator. I just am in excess in every area of my life. So if it gets stuck, don't worry, I got you covered. Here we go. Hebrews 10, 25. Let us not neglect our meeting together. As it is in the habit of some people. Do you know what happens with a habit? It starts and it keeps happening and it keeps happening and it keeps happening, okay? As the habit of some people, but encourage. Now everybody say encourage. What am I here to beat up people and condemn people because they got really, really busy? Nope, I'm gonna focus on the answer. You hear me? Let us encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I didn't go beat up Ashley going, where you been? I've been taking attendance. Can't believe you're here. What's wrong with you? Why are your kids being sick? Your lack of faith. That's horrifically toxic. Like, okay, just I was thinking of you. How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? And if they're like so busy they don't text you back, send them a scripture and send them an encouraging thought. Okay. Most things in the Bible didn't start out as one. God will call you to do hard things. Did we read it? When did God ever call someone to do something they could do on their own strength and was easy? The gospel is meant to be simple. Let's not overcomplicate it. But life is hard. Real talk. And people are messy. And how many people have been hit in the head a couple different times by relationships that went awry? It's okay, we'll start over here. Brad, my love, you can start here. It's going to be messy in here. It's going to be complicated. Okay. You won't forget this, though, right? Acts 2, 46. This is going to be, I'm telling you, you won't forget it. Acts 2, 46. Day by day. Did it say only on Sunday? So listen, if you didn't make it here on Sunday because T-ball took off or, you know, someone was sick or we have people that are in our congregation that are shut-ins, honestly, or some people like don't have access to transportation and their ride fell through. What does it say? You need to what? You're going to have to fight to go connect because it says this, day by day, continue with one mind worshiping in the temple. So it is very important to come to worship. I value Sunday morning. I'll tell you, it is. There's something about gathering in a large group of people to worship him. I got just so swept up. And I, you know what, I was remembering how God has brought me through some of the most horrific times in my life and his faithfulness. And you know what, I thought of some people in this room that were in the thick of it. And I was like, okay. And Lord started giving me just things to encourage them with. And then I just went right back to worshiping the Lord. There is just something about gathering together. And the Bible does command us to gather together. Why? It'll keep you from getting weird. And it'll start to pull you out of some depression and isolation. You know what gets you in depression? Isolation. Okay? So we need to gather together. We need worship at church. It's important. And the breaking of bread from house to house. Now, right now, I just pick up a roaster chicken. I get two a week. And so you know what? I normally, if someone comes on over, I just slice up that roaster chicken and throw some mayonnaise in it. We'll figure it out, right? Okay? You know, so break bread together. And if you can't do that, you know, get a coupon for Burger King. You know, there's something to get together about eating. They actually did studies in psychology and in business, and they say if you get together with people and eat, and they actually say kind of messy foods, like hands-on kind of foods, you know, the kind you got to build at the table? My husband loves fajitas. You know, we're going to have like, or nachos. I'm big into nachos. But when you eat food together that's kind of messy and you got to build it together, they actually say it creates a psychological bond. Isn't that kind of cool? So maybe it's just passing popcorn. I don't know about you, but I got holes in my mouth. Every time I eat popcorn, I find popcorn for 10 years at my house. If you don't have money, popcorn's almost free. It's really cheap to make. Go meet at the park and throw popcorn. Be messy together, feed the birds, and ask, hey, how's your life? How can I pray for you? And start encouraging people, okay? And it said they were sharing meals with great joy and generosity. They weren't stingy. You know, it costs to cook right now, it does, doesn't it? It's going to take effort and it's going to take work to do this thing called church. And church is supposed to meet outside these four walls. The vision of this house, my parents... I am 44 years old. I'm turning 45 in December, and I'm still believing God for another kid, so you never know, okay? I'm turning 45 in December, and my parents founded this church 43 years ago, right? 40? And the vision of this house, I ain't changing. I know a lot of people that they get new leadership in a church, and they change everything. Now, don't get too attached to the carpet. Mom picked it out. Thank you, Mom. That was awesome. I didn't get blamed for changing the carpet. Okay, but the vision of this church, I'm not changing. It has always been, originally it was called worship, the word, and the work of God. Church in the home. Gather, grow, and grow, go. It just had become shorter because it didn't all fit on a t-shirt and on a website. Gather to worship together. Grow in the word and go do the work of the Lord. And you know what's so cool is Donna remembered Koinonia. My dad would preach on it all the time. Mike taught on it, koinonia. It is fellowship. It is doing life and doing hard things together. It's leaning on each other. It's being connected. It's eating together. It's taking a walk around the neighborhood. You know how I'm meeting my neighbors right now? A lot of us were dealing with some really rough postpartum stuff, leaving it at that. It's hard. It's going through, and I'll tell you what, we start walking with the glazed eyes. With our little strollers, and I can't even walk it straight. Like, I'm just hitting the divots. Like, I don't even know. I can't even walk a stroller straight. And we'd start coming out. Next thing you know, there's another stroller. Next thing you know, we got three strollers. And now we're just in the road. And we're encouraging one another. And they're not all Christians. That's quite colorful language, to be honest with you. Lots of four letters. No, listen. Guys, if you only hang out with people that are just like you. No, hear me out. Some of you guys got a little stuck in the religious here. If we only hang out with people at our church, isn't that safe and comfortable and boring? And, oh, we're not doing the Great Commission. Because the Bible, Jesus himself commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means your friends are going to be a little colorful. Hear me out. You got it. We're going to have to learn to know our neighbors. Okay? And so when we're not doing good, it's so cool. I have a neighbor, and I'll just leave it at that because I heard him one time. We were all getting together because our kids are all about the same age, and we're all over the place. I have one that's my age. We're kind of the late bloomers, and some of them are like 10, 15 years younger than me. And we're getting together, and I went upstairs to use the restroom, and the girls go, "Hey, don't you kind of want to see Sherry doing her thing?" And they're like, "We should just all go. We'll go sit. And I laugh, and I'm like, these are my neighbors encouraging me. You know what I mean? Do you hear me? If we do life with people that are different than us, the world around us starts changing, our lives start changing, and our neighborhood starts changing. Is it going to be messy? Yeah. Is it going to be complicated? Is it hard to coordinate? Are you going to have to create more space in your life? Yes. So I'm going to ask you, to get these connections, you're going to have to open up some connectors in your life. Do you hear me? Jesus had 12. He had three, and then he had 12. And if you only have your one person, it's probably not biblical. You're going to need some more people in your life. And yes, Judas was among them. People stink. I could write books on betrayal and backstabbing. And guess what? It's just a part of it. It's just a part of doing life. I stink sometimes too. I have to do a lot of apologizing. You need some more connectors in your life. Okay. Should we dive in? Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, and Mark 6, verse 7. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, right? He had his three best friends. He had his 12 that he was discipling. There was the 72 that he was like really just like doing life and ministry with, and they're eating together and he's teaching, and then they're getting sent out all over. And he sent them out two by two. Why? Because it is really easy to get disheartened and quit when people in life is hard, okay? Colossians 2, verse 2, this is what we're doing right now. Paul spoke of the church, and he said this, "I want them to be encouraged." Everybody say this, encouraged. "And knit together," the Amplified says. I want the church to be encouragement. I want it to be this wild, messy ball of encouragement. "And knit together by strong ties of love." Knit together. It is really important to stay connected. It is really important to be connected with a mature group of believers that are diverse. Because if you only hang out with people that look like you, talk like you, you're going to get weird. And you're not going to know you're weird. In fact, there's weird people. Every family has a weird person. Every family. And if you don't have one, you're the weird person. You just don't know it. Okay. A lot of reasons why people don't want to go to church is they think church is weird. And for some reason, these, you know, churches that believe the Holy Spirit and all the gifts are for today, we have a reputation for being like extra, extra weird. Do you know why? Because we only do church in four walls. And we only do it with the same Bible study that we've been going to for 20 years. And we're not trying to like mess it up because, you know, new people are just going to make it messy. And we don't want to multiply it because, well, we just only like our us four no more. Okay. What's starting to form here is a network. And this is not networking. This is not networking. This is called a diverse group of people that love Jesus. And now raise your hand if you don't have a string yet. I got more if it got stuck. Okay. Brad's a divine connector because he's got two balls of yarn all connected right there. All right. And I got another one if it gets stuck. Okay. Here we go. So Whitney gave us some bath toys, and in it was like a little net, you know, and I almost brought it in, but I think I have enough analogies going on. The best fishing net, how many people go fishing? You know, sometimes we're always holding out for the big one, the big fish, right? But you know what? Those little fish along the way, when we are growing in our faith, I'll tell you what, those little testimonies of, you know, Donna, thank you for sharing it. It's not always about, like, I got to get them saved. I got to get another notch on my belt. Like, it's starting a divine connection. I prayed for three people this week, and none of them, I was like, you got to get saved right now. But man, we prayed Jesus, and I prayed for healing or whatever. You just got to start things, right? But the closer our network gets, our nets, our what, divine strategic connections, the smaller the holes are, and the less people start slipping through the cracks. I'm going to challenge York Christian Fellowship on something. We all know each other, but do we know each other? And also, it might be our fault because we're giving canned answers. How you doing? Fine. Listen, if your spouse goes fine, you're not fine. Nope. Okay. How are you doing? Good. Bless God. Glory together. Shake him, running over. You're the weird person. Okay. And you're also a liar. Be honest and then speak words of faith and encouragement. But if you're going to lie to everyone, the world around you and your world is not going to change. So if you're afraid to tell someone, I am struggling right now with whether it be depression or anything, or just, you know, low self-esteem, or I feel like I'm failing every day. Listen, some people are like, getting a little, I hear the religion starts crackling in the room. Tell them how you're really doing, and then see what the word of God says and declare the word of God over your life and pray and prophesy. But you got me, they're not going to be able to come in like a flood if you're lying to them. Can everybody take that little bit of a little correction around here? You got me? Not everyone's a mind reader, so help them out. And sometimes the Lord will speak how they really are, but can you just tell them, I'm really struggling. It was a really rough work week. Okay, and here's what the word of God says. Now, don't correct them. You shouldn't say that. That's not faith. No, they're being honest with you. Okay, now what does the word of God say? And we're going to pray and declare it over life. Okay, you follow me? Follow me? Okay. Here we go. Here we go. It is important that people don't fall through the cracks, and so we're going to have to work on building meaningful, connected relationships. And you know what? Let's stop being offended when you called them twice and they didn't call you back or text you back. Do you remember when you were going through a really hard time and didn't feel like talking about it? So just pray for them. Run up and encourage them. And don't ask, where you been? Just, it's great to see ya. Build them up. Encourage them. Okay. All right, healthy joints. Let's talk about this. First of all, we are never meant to run our race alone or just with only one other person. Because I'll tell you this, sometimes Satan steals your person. My father is in heaven. I have dear friends. Pastor Reuben Hilliard, my friend. I talk to him like he's still with us. He officiated our wedding. I am dear friends with his wife and her new husband. But he's in heaven too. I know so many people that Satan took someone out and they didn't get any other connections and they scattered. They had all their eggs in one basket. My father passed on and they went, because they didn't have any other people speaking into their lives. Okay? I remember there was an amazing, amazing leader, grow group leader here, and God called them and sent them to another state. I hated it. I want that state to just, we hate that state. I don't know why people, they got palm trees. I hate those stupid palm trees. Okay, I was a little bitter for a while. But God sent them there, and there's great fruit to it. That's okay. But it was very interesting. Their grow group went, totally imploded. Marriages imploded. Children imploded because that group didn't create any other connections with anyone else. And when other groups started, they didn't get plugged in because it was different than the grow group that they were in and loved. If you don't get more people in your life, we're going to set ourselves up, okay? You're actually an easy target for Satan to take out. All right. Healthy joints are connected, not disjointed. All right. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, this is the body of Christ, is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying building up of itself in love. Now, most people get into a works mindset, and they think, oh, every person needs to be working. You need to be working. Well, you know what's work? Relationships. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to use you for everything you can do.
although I did spill coffee on the carpet. Thank you, Joe, for telling me to put that lid on. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I laugh. We need help with all the little things, right? But here's the number one thing I want from every person in this room. Start working on more relationships in your life. And in order to do it, you're going to have to create space. That means you're going to have to ask the Lord to prune me. This hurts. Lord, but I love doing that little thing. I've been doing that little thing for 20 years. And he goes, yep, and you have no space in your life for any new connections. So with that, an old season, an old thing, what am I doing now? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Don't you see it? We are sometimes holding on to all these things that eat up all the space in our life. And God says, that was good. It was for a season. You were called to do, I don't know, like I said, I say T-ball because we're probably going to get into T-ball. I got toddlers, right? But he might be doing a new thing in a new season. He might need to remix some of the groups in this church, some of the departments in this church, some of the teams. I have people that have quit teams because their person got moved to a different team. Well, I am only going to serve in that particular area if I'm partnered with that one person. It'll help us with the gossip in our life, too. It's time to remix. Okay. I wasn't planning going in this direction, but I don't know. Here we are. All right. Paul is saying this. He said, every joint supplies something in the body of Christ. And what I'm asking every person in this room is to ask God to prune your life, create space, and get connected with some new people. And let them know how you're really doing. And then encourage them with scripture, prophesy, speak life into them. Pam and I were talking, it's like, we gotta speak life more. We gotta prophesy to those dry bones. We need to speak what God is saying in these areas. Get in faith for these lives, okay? Paul is saying this, what do you say this? Every joint supplies, you are a joint. You know what healthy joints are? They are connected. You ever get a bone out of joint? It is painful and unhealthy, and it will inhibit you doing what you are called to do. We get disjointed by disconnection in relationships. Or some of us only real talk with one part. I've been a bridesmaid 12 times. I have friends. I just do a lot of real talk, you know, because, you know, I have friends that, like, sometimes it takes 3 months to get together. I have family that sometimes it takes 2 months to get together. And therefore, I need different people in my life so I can real talk. And we can really build each other up and encourage one another and know each other, okay? Paul is saying that every joint is to supply something, to be effective in the body of Christ, right? And it causes growth in the body for the building up of itself in love. Maturity is connected. Everybody put your fingers together and go like this. What? Here's the church, here's the steeple. What's that thing? I can't even do it. Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door. Here's all the people. Maturity is connected. You know what most churches are? Like this. Remember that, like, is it the Sistine Chapel when they got, like, Adam and God, and they're, like, almost touching fingers, and that's, like, we sit on this side and that side, and we wave each other. Bless God, glory together, shake and run over. Amen. Good to see you, brother. You think being connected is because you know the name of every person in this room. But do they really know you? And do you have space to allow them to get to know you? And are we going to get over our fear of rejection and betrayal and backstabbing? Because people stink. People are jerks, and they're probably going to hurt you. But somehow Jesus still broke bread with Judas. And I don't know why, but we're still called to what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel and do life with people. All right. So what's a joint? When I preach this to my teens downstairs, what's a joint, okay? What's a joint? Okay, it is a strategic divine connection. What is a joint? It is a strategic divine connection. It's tight. This is your running buddies. Get some more people in your life. Buddies. Everybody say buddies. It's plural. Because it's so funny. Everybody have a gym buddy and then they moved or their work schedule changed and all of a sudden they just stopped working out? Because it wasn't convenient and they never put more gym buddies in their lives. It's time to get some more. A sense of connectedness and community where people really know you and you're really doing life together and you're really praying for each other and you're really building each other up and encouraging one another. That's maturity. And that is a growing, healthy church.
Now, some churches are called to be 5,000 people, and they do grow groups, and they have ways of connecting and things like that. I don't know, but I'll tell you right now, it's time to have more buddies in your life and get a little bit more connected. Okay, Ephesians 2, 21 through 22. This is describing real spiritual maturity. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded. Anybody do welding? Big money. I tell my students, look into welding. Great career. Underwater welding. You could do pipeline welding. Okay, why? If you know how to do it really well, that joint's going to last for hopefully life, right? We need to learn how to do relationships better, which means getting over offense and our insecurities to let people in our life and initiating things. If you're waiting for someone to call you, no one likes me, no one loves me, no one wants to hang out with me. Just call somebody, text them. All right, here we go. Ephesians 2, 21 through 22. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise and grow and increase into a holy temple. In him and in fellowship with one another, in fellowship with Jesus. If you're mature in your relationship with Jesus, it's going to overflow into fellowship with other people. You yourselves are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed adobe, a dwelling place of God through his Spirit. So we all need to be what? Connected to run a healthy race. And we need to be doing it with more people, right? And why? Now this goes into the whole prophetic thing. Because we are called to do life with people so we can prophesy and declare the gold in people's lives, speak life into people's lives. Because you know what's so great? Emma, you just be my person over here. Emma, isn't it great? Like, I know that you absolutely, like, you love Amber. Who doesn't love Amber? Like, you're weird if you don't like Amber. She's amazing. She inspires me to be more like Jesus. Like, sometimes I'm like, she called me and I was in my worst self moment. I'm like, Amber, I'm so sorry. And I'm being my worst self with my kids right now. And I was like, Amber, thank you for being in my life. And just her even calling me reminded me to just spend some more time with Jesus. But if you want to prophesy to Amber, how hard is it when you only sit here and she only sits there? So create a little bit more space and let your crockpot beans get a little mushy and create 10 minutes after service and go talk to someone and stop rushing out the door because, oh my gosh, someone's going to talk to me and I'm not going to know what to say. Well, maybe God does. All right. Pray for people before you do. All right. So I've been talking about how to allow a prophetic word of encouragement to flow. 1 Corinthians 14:3, this is the meat of the word. Here we go. The one who prophesies speaks to people for the edification, to strengthen, promote their spiritual growth, and speaks words of encouragement to uphold and advise them concerning the matters of God, and speaks works of consolation to compassionately comfort them. Is everyone holding a string? Everyone got one? Okay, good. All right. So a prophetic word is seeing the gold in the midst of the dirt of someone's life. How many people know we all have personalities that drive other people nuts? Ask your spouse. They will remind you what parts drive other people nuts, okay? Our job is to not speak into the parts that drive other people nuts, but our part is to look past the dirt and the negativity and the things that are so easy to judge and criticize and say, well, you'd be really thriving life if it wasn't for this one thing. Get all past that. They know it. And speak what God has called them to be. Speak life. How does God see them? Not as they are, but as they're called to be. And if you don't know how to do it, I've talked about in the weeks past, be led by compassion, be led by love. Are you ready for this? Don't wait to be led by anything. Because we'll use that as an excuse. Because sometimes we're running so hard and so fast, Just look for opportunities. Create space, okay? And if you don't know what to say, Psalms 81 verse 10 just says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. You see a jersey, whether you like the team or not, start talking about sports, right? Come on, find a way to talk to someone, right? Or, you know, if someone asks you for money, right? Mike's like, there's a reason why you're talking to me right now, okay? Don't worry about what you're going to say. Matthew 10, 19. Don't worry about what you're going to say or how you will say it. At that time, you will be given the words to say. All I had was Popeye the Sailor Man. I don't even know. Try not to make it weird. Just be like, hey, does Popeye the Sailor Man mean anything to you? And they might be like, nope. I'd just be like, hey, I like fried chicken and spinach. do you want to go grab some food? I don't know, you know. It's like no one likes spinach, whatever. No. All right. We do need to stir ourselves up to be an overflow, but I'll say this. Some of us are being stirred up, but we don't have enough connections in our life to start practicing what we preach. All right, now we're going to go to the meat. Here we go. This is the deep stuff, so follow me. I love reading the prophetic books. Jump ahead to Isaiah chapter 35. I love to pray through the prophetic books. What is going on in context? Isaiah, by the way, prophesies more about the coming of Jesus Christ than any other book in the Bible. It is my favorite book to pray through. There are some really hard scriptures in there. There are some really rough, painful scriptures in there, and there are some of the greatest ones that give us hope. If you ever read through the prophetic books, you're like, what do I do with this? Now, there was what it means then, and how many people know that scripture is God-breathed? It is alive, it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing joint and marrow, exposing motives of the heart. The word is alive. And we should read it in context and think about who it was written to and what was historically going on. And then we can ask God to speak through those scriptures to us and through us for other people. Because there's great encouragement. What I love about some of these prophetic books is Israel was going through a really, really hard time. Sometimes you're going through a hard time because people messed up your life. Some people in Israel stayed true to the one true God, didn't get caught up with idols. And their whole lives were totally destroyed because of other people. And you can't control it. And we also live in a dark, broken world. We can't explain everything. And some people, their lives, they were in the state they were because they got caught up in idolatry. Other loves that stole their first love. Their priorities got out of whack. So what was going on in Israel is just, they were warned over and over and over again. God kept coming to the rescue. And finally, the cause and effect of their lives were consumed with idols. And all the, it just, the, Israel and just divided in two. We had a church split. Because their priorities got out of whack. Religion will mess you up. So the nation of Israel divided. There was the northern and the southern kingdoms. And then all the other nations around them started attacking them. So they're having wars within and division within. And they're having pressure and persecution and attacks from without. So you're getting it from within, from without. They're in a really dark time. Anybody been in a really dark time where they were like struggling with hope? I was. It was a prolonged season in my life. I didn't put it on my social media. But I had a network of people, and it wasn't just one person. I tell you, I had a best friend in New York. I had a best friend in town. I had people in this church, old and young. I had family members that knew what was going on in my life in detail. It was a really dark place. And I started reading these books and seeing how the Lord was so faithful. And it was a hard time and it was a dark time. But the Lord prophesied that you were going to get through this. He prophesied comfort. He prophesied strength. And he did say this, it was going to get worse before it got better. It's very interesting, some of these prophetic books. Some things just play out. And then it said, there will be justice and restoration. The catch is sometimes and normally all the time, it doesn't come the way I wanted it, in the timing I wanted it, or from the people I wanted it. So your job is to not get offended with God and get God out of the box and read your Bible. And I have so many scriptures, not all of them I'll share today, but I had people encourage me, pray for me, when I wasn't in a safe place physically, spiritually, or emotionally. I couldn't just call one person. Do you hear me? We're in a really dark place, and you call your one person, and they might be at a football game. They might be out of town. They might be on vacation. They might not have cell phone service. It might be 3 a.m. I had more people in my life. I remember one time I was in a really unsafe place, and I called 6 people until I was safe. I'm going to leave it at that. You need more people to call. And don't get offended if they don't take your phone call. Isaiah chapter 35. Israel was going through a really hard, prolonged season. There was division. There was attack. It was just a really hard time of conflict. And God raised up the prophet Isaiah to speak to Israel, what? To encourage them, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to say, do not quit in the midst of this dark season. And God is a God of justice, and he will come in, and he also prophesied that God would restore in wild ways. So don't quit and give up in the middle of the story. Isaiah 35, 1 through 2, New Living Translation. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green, and there the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. God has given us written scriptures, and yes, this is written to the Israelites, right? And they are a type and shadow of the church, right? But God's word is alive, and it's powerful, and it's still for today. And when you read the word, and some, you can, I'll tell you, when you're in a hard time, your face blurs out. You can't, it's just, anybody been just staring at a page? You just stare at it. You're either so exhausted or so tired or so emotionally worn out, and then just finally your eye focuses on one scripture. That's the one he has for you. And maybe you can't even focus, but you're going to need to pick one because you need something to stand on. We are given scripture so we can align our words with God's word. We are given scripture to stand on in faith, not like a Hallmark card. A lot of us are seeing no victory and no power in our life because we read the word of God like a Hallmark card. Oh, that's nice. Now, I preached last week, you can give cards to people, right? With the word of God and with encouragement, but it's how we receive it that defines our life. We need to receive it by faith, not because it's a feeling, but this is what the word of God says. It is God-breathed, and it's full of life, power, strength, comfort. And just because I don't feel it, and just because I don't see it, this is what the word of God says. I don't know how it's going to happen. And I'm going to get out of the box the way I want it to, and I'm going to trust that God is going to bring justice and recompense and healing. And he does it in wild ways because it preaches really well. God specializes in bringing dead things to life. He specializes in resurrections. And sometimes you're going, this is beyond resurrection. This is dead 6 feet under. This is impossible. Well, just wait. Trust God and stand on the word. I had scriptures in Isaiah and many scriptures in the Bible that I would read every day, and I was in the opposite of what that scripture said. But I had to stand in faith, and I had people in my life that would remind me what the word of God says and remind me of those scriptures and remind me of what God did in their life and how faithful he's been to them, even though I hadn't seen it in my life yet. Isaiah 35, 1 through 2. Even the wilderness and deserts will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green, and there the Lord God will display his glory and the splendor of our God, right? If your life feels like a wasteland, if you feel like you're the darkest place in your life, I'll tell you, you need to get around other people, come out from isolation, return the phone call, return the text, please. And you know what our job is? To seek out people in weak places and speak life and prophesy life, encouragement, strength, and comfort into them. That is our job as the body of Christ. Isaiah 35, verse 3. Isaiah was commissioned with the news to what? Strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Our job, we are commissioned by the Lord to build up, to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage people. 1 Corinthians 14, 3. You are to look for people that are going through hard times. You are going to look for people to do life with. You're going to look to connect with new people. And then, what's this? Strengthen their hands. If you have worked so hard and seen nothing happen and you're just exhausted, come on, you've done everything that you know to do and I am exhausted. Nothing's happening. You need your hands strengthened. If that's you right now, raise your fist. Oh, everybody's life in here is perfect. Good job, guys. Come on. Thank you. We're going to pray for each other at the end. We need to learn to be real if we want to see transformation in our lives. Okay? Strengthen their knees. When you've been running really, really long and hard, sometimes you just collapse because you're so tired. Verse 4, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Will you just raise a fist if you're struggling with fear in your life? Come on, thank you. We are going to pray for each other at the end. This is what the Word of God says, and we are called to align our words with God's words and speak life, and we are called to receive it by faith. It is up to us how we're going to receive it and stand on it. Be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. So I was not in the military, but we have wonderful military people in our church family and even in our family. And there's an exercise in the military which they are graded as a whole, where they all have to run with those really, really, really heavy backpacks in. Does anybody remember how heavy they are? I can't remember. But they're really, really heavy. And they're to run. And it's uphill, it's downhill, it's a long haul. And sometimes someone collapses. From sheer exhaustion, their knees just go out. And in the military, they say, no man left behind, right? The ones that just keep on running missed the whole point. Church, let's work on these connections. But what is supposed to happen and is so beautiful when they do is when them as a group, they stop and someone puts on the backpack. And two other people put their arms around them and carry them like Aaron and Hur. Remember when Moses was in a battle and his hands were just so tired. He was doing all he was called to do. He was called to what? Keep his hands up. Guys, some of you guys need to raise your hands in worship, not because you feel like it, because we probably never do. It's a choice to by faith. And when you're so tired, we come along people's sides and what hold their hands up to not quit. We prophesy life. We prophesy grace, right? We prophesy strength and comfort. And those loads, we are not, and this is the catch. I watch a lot of Christians wear their spells off because they need to feel needed and they put everybody's loads on them. But you were not meant to carry everyone's load. You were meant to help them carry it to Jesus because the cross could bear the load. Your job is to get them to the cross. Peace. I want to say this. A lot of us are waiting for a word to prophesy to a friend, and we need to just learn to latch on to the word of God. It's his word. It's alive, and it's powerful, and we need to get filled with his word. And sometimes we just need to step out by faith, not feeling. Faith is not a feeling. It's not a goosebump. I don't always get a picture. I don't always get a thought. I just sometimes have to look for opportunity and speak life and speak grace and pray and just encourage one another. Because when you step out by faith and receive grace, grace is God's divine empowerment, God's divine empowerment, God's divine empowerment to do what you're called to do. And when you speak into someone's life, and it just could be simple encouragement, comfort, strength, and the most powerful thing is scripture. What God does is he goes, now I'm going to add grace to that, and I'm going to just double it, and I am going to do something wildly powerful in their life. Guys, the spoken word, it's not a formula. It's something we step out by faith, by grace, and then what? Sometimes his grace comes in like a flood and does divine and supernatural things, and something just comes alive in their heart going, this is not the end, this is just the middle of the story. And say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. He is coming to vindicate you. He is coming to heal you. He is coming to bring recompense. Isaiah 61, 7-8. I read this chapter in the Amplified Classic every day for about 3 years until I started seeing it and I'm living it, and it's wild. And what's so cool is when God would speak certain scriptures through other people and I go, that was a scripture I was standing on. They had no idea. And what's it say here? Instead of your shame, you'll receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you'll rejoice in your inheritance. So you will inherit a double portion, and in your land, everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing, and in my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. I've been studying Zechariah. You guys can stand up. Zechariah 9, 11 through 12. Because of the covenant, we studied blood covenant. What is blood covenant? What is yours is mine, and mine is yours. Everything that Jesus won at the cross and bought back at the cross is ours by faith. And we need to remind each other of what the Word of God says and prophesy grace for their race so they don't quit. Because of the covenant I made with you, the covenant Jesus made with you sealed in his blood. What? I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Some of you guys feel really trapped and you don't see a way out. But God specializes in prison breaks. And you know it, you're just stuck. It says, come back to the place of safety. There is safety in numbers. There is safety in a corporate uniting. There is safety in a group of people. There is safety surrounded by people when you have collapsed and you can't get up. Some of you guys are afraid of new connections. Well, I prophesy strength and courage to you. It says this, for all you prisoners who still have hope, I promise this very day I will repay double blessings for each of your troubles. And maybe you're saying this, Sherry, I lost hope. I'm in a dark place. I am struggling. I want to say this. God is going to release someone in this room or some multiple people in this room to speak life into those areas of hopelessness, to speak life into those areas that you're struggling and wavering, to speak life into the insecurities in your life. And I'm going to say this, faith is not a feeling, it is a choice. Hope is knowing, a deep internal knowing, God's got you. Faith is seeing it. How many people know you need to choose to see your life and situations in faith? And I want to say this, I'm halfway through my message, so we're just going to stop. Everybody get quiet, and we're going to practice what we preach, and I'm not going to make you do anything, but I hope that you linger for 5 minutes to receive a living, breathing word from someone else in this room to build you up, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to encourage, to strengthen your hands. If you are struggling with fear, depression, anxiety, hopelessness, isolation, insecurity, raise your fist and take courage. Just be honest. And right now, everyone get quiet and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. How would you like me to encourage, comfort, strengthen someone else in this room? Get quiet. And if you don't feel nothing, guess what? You're going to move into the most powerful force in the universe, which is called faith. It is not a feeling. Faith takes a risk. It takes a step. And reach down into your heart. The word of God does not return void. Any scripture in your heart is life-giving, breathing, prophetic word of God. And speak it in love, right? Speak it in love and speak it in faith into someone's life. You might have a picture, you might have a thought, you might have a sense that there's sickness in their life. You might even see that or hear it or even get a weird sensation. You might have a weird sensation in your elbow and you're like, I don't know, I think of this one person and go, hey, do you have an elbow injury? And they're like, I have tennis elbow. And pray for them. It is a sign and a wonder God saying, I'm in this, go pray. It stirs faith. It might be like Popeye the Sailor Man, and it's just telling you to pray for someone else in your life. All right. If you need encouragement, comfort, strength, if you're dealing with hopelessness, depression, anger, frustration, raise your fist up. Now, everyone, open up your eyes, and if there's someone with their fist up, go surround them and pray them. Just put your hand on their shoulder. And everyone else, you go look for someone to build up comfort, encourage, and strengthen the room before you leave. All right? Invite people to lunch. Maybe you're just supposed to break bread with someone and go to Burger King. All right. I challenge you, linger for 5 minutes. You can leave whenever you feel. But go ahead. Be church.